All right, get this. We're diving into a story today. A real transatlantic journey, military mystery kind of thing, family history stuff, you know. We're following the Farndale family from England all the way to the Canadian wilderness, late 1800s.
And it's not just one journey, right? You've got
Well,
two Farndales, John George and Samuel Kirk. Both end up in Ontario around the same time. What are the chances?
seriously, it's like, what were they thinking? But let's start with John George. This isn't just some random guy hopping on a boat. This is a Crimean War veteran we're talking. Spent time in India with the 28th Foot Regiment, the whole nine yards. Talk about adventurous. Even before Canada enters the picture.
It's easy to gloss over a Crimean War veteran, but think about what that actually means. Brutal war, harsh conditions, awful medical care. Just surviving that says a lot about John George's resilience. Makes you wonder if those experiences made him crave a fresh start.
Like, did he come back from those battlefields a changed man? Makes you think. And we know he was in India around 1858, right when the British Raj was cementing its control after the Sepoy Rebellion. Talk about a wild time and place to be.
And there's a bit of a mystery there, too. Sources mention a possible demotion. Whether it's true, who knows? But it adds another layer to his story.
Like a little genealogical puzzle. We'll circle back to his military days in a later deep dive. But for now, let's get him on that ship to Canada, shall we? By 1870, John George is stepping foot in Ontario. But why Ontario, of all places?
Well, picture this. You're British, late 1800s, maybe life in England isn't what you'd hoped. Then there's Ontario being advertised as this land of opportunity. Huge chunks of land available, a chance to own your own farm, unimaginable for many back in Britain.
So the appeal of land, a fresh start, I get it. But wasn't Ontario still pretty wild back then?
Wild, sure, but not completely untamed. We're talking about a land with its own history, indigenous peoples who'd been there for centuries, the fur trade era. Then, of course, the whole fight between the French and the British for control. By the time John George arrives, the British had solidified their grip, especially after all those loyalists came up after the American Revolution.
So Ontario is already this mix of cultures, shaped by all these migrations, all this conflict. John George is really stepping into something new here, but it's interesting how all that history kind of set the stage for him to build a life there.
Right? Think about those loyalist migrations, for example. Led to land grant systems, which made it possible for newcomers, someone like John George, to actually get property. It's a huge deal, going from maybe not even having land in England to owning your own farm in Canada.
Total game changer. Okay, so John George gets to Ontario. It's around 1870. What happens next? Give me the details.
Well, there's this little nugget in the research. It mentions him possibly going to Australia first, before Canada.
Wait, really?
Yeah, it's not confirmed or anything, but still, it makes you think about the paths his life could have taken, right?
Talk about a choose your own adventure. Did he get restless, hear about better prospects? We might never know, but he does end up planting those roots in Ontario.
He does. By 1880, he's married to Elizabeth Sanderson. They start a family in Vaughan.
And they don't mess around, do they?
Eight kids, six boys, two girls. That's a busy household.
Wow. The records show him working as a laborer at first, then he transitions to farming. I can just picture it working the land, providing for his family.
Remember, this is all happening while Ontario itself is changing so fast. The province is growing, industries popping up, towns turning into cities. It must have been exciting, and maybe a little overwhelming at times.
Especially with all those mouths to feed. But life has a way of throwing curveballs. By 1891, John George is listed as a farm laborer again, but this time he's in Etobicoke. And there's something interesting in the census records, another family, the Farrs, they're living with them.
It really highlights how important community was back then. Families sharing homes, especially after hardships, losses, it wasn't unusual at all.
And sadly, hardship does come. Elizabeth, John George's wife, she passes away just a couple of years later in 1893.
It's easy to forget how tough life could be back then, even with new opportunities. John George is a widower now with a big family to look after. Tough situation.
Must have been incredibly difficult for him. Okay, so by 1901, we find him in Chinquaquacy. Still a farm laborer, but now a widower.
Shows his resilience, though, wouldn't you say? Keeps going despite everything.
Absolutely. Sadly, John George passes away in Chinquaquacy in 1909. He was 72 years old. He's buried in Brampton Cemetery.
Think about this back then. Brampton was this tiny village called Buffy's Corner.
Buffy's Corner.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
A far cry from the city it is today. John George's life essentially spans this huge period of growth and change in Ontario.
It's mind-blowing. All that change in one lifetime. Speaking of change and interesting family ties, remember that other Farndale we mentioned earlier?
You mean Samuel Kirk Farndale.
A one and only, ready to jump over to his branch of the family tree.
Makes you think, doesn't it? Pure coincidence, or maybe something more. Shared dreams, news from relatives making its way across the ocean. It's intriguing.
And you know how I love a good mystery. It gets even more interesting when you think about the names of those early Ontario towns. Samuel, coming from Loftus 3 line, he would have run into places like Whitby, Pickering, York, Scarborough, names that echoed his home.
Imagine that, right? Arriving in this new land and suddenly you're surrounded by familiar place names. Must have been comforting. A little reminder of home and all the unfamiliarity, like carrying a piece of it with you.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about Samuel's journey. John George went straight to Ontario, but Samuel's path is a bit more, well, roundabout. Get this. He first lands in Quebec in 1892, sailed from Liverpool on the SS Sardinian.
The SS Sardinian.
Yep. Then he heads back to England for a bit, but he's not done with Canada. Set sail again in 1895, this time from Liverpool to Halifax on the Carthaginian.
Wow, that's a journey.
Right. He eventually makes his way to Oshawa, Ontario.
Oshawa, synonymous with the Canadian auto industry, right? But back in Samuel's day, it was a whole different story.
Every city has its beginnings. What's Oshawa's origin story?
It all started with a fur trading post. Pretty humble. Then came those British settlers after the American Revolution, like in other parts of Ontario. But what really put Oshawa on the map was infrastructure. Specifically, Simcoe Street.
That's the main road, right?
The one and only. Connected Oshawa to the rest of the province. Accessibility is key.
Absolutely. Opens up all kinds of possibilities.
Exactly. And as Oshawa became more accessible, its industry started to boom. By the late 1800s, it was becoming a real manufacturing center, the early stages of its automotive future.
So Samuel arrives right as things are taking off. What do we know about his life there?
He marries Mary Richardson in 1906. In Kinsale, not too far from Pickering.
Okay.
They have three sons, William, Gordon, and Clarence. Samuel, he's working as a farmer in Brooklyn, which is also near Pickering. So, like John George, he's part of shaping the landscape of Ontario, just in a different corner of the province.
It's amazing how these two branches of the Farndale family, both drawn to Ontario around the same time, end up leaving their mark in such different ways. But their stories don't end there, right? What about their kids, the grandkids? Did they stay put, or did that adventurous spirit, that drive to explore, did that get passed down?
Remember how much internal migration was happening in Canada in the early 1900s? People heading west for new opportunities, moving to the cities for work. The Farndale descendants, they were part of that too. Their stories are woven into the fabric of Canada's growth.
It's not just individual journeys anymore. It's about how those journeys connect to the bigger picture. Genealogy at its finest, right?
Absolutely. And those connections, they're everywhere. Like with John George's grandson, Wilfred Gordon Farndale, he became a flight lieutenant in the Royal Canadian Air Force during World War II.
Wow.
And Samuel's grandson, Clarence Edward Farndale, he also served in World War II, but in the Royal Canadian Navy.
Talk about answering the call. Even generations later, you see that commitment to their new home. Those initial decisions to emigrate, they had a ripple effect.
It really is remarkable. And the family stories, they're full of these fascinating twists and turns. Like John George's son, Charles. He passed away, tragically. And his wife, Mabel, later on, she married his brother, Albert. Life, even with new beginnings and all that open space, it was still full of complexities.
Life has a way of doing that, doesn't it? And just when you think you've heard it all, you stumble upon something else. John George's daughter, Martha Teresa, she lived to be 99 years old.
99.
Can you imagine the stories she could tell? And get this, one of the granddaughters, Audrey Celine Farndale, she worked as a comptometer operator.
A comptometer operator? What's that?
It was this early type of mechanical calculator. Imagine the skill it took to use one of those. It's like a window into a different time. We started with two men, two Farndales, who took a leap of faith, crossed an ocean looking for something new in Ontario. We uncovered some military mysteries, followed their footsteps through a rapidly changing world, and saw how their decisions reverberated through generations.
Their stories, they're personal, of course, but they're also woven into the bigger story of migration, settlement, the creation of a nation. It makes you wonder about your own family story, doesn't it? The choices they made, the paths they took, the legacies, big and small, that we carry.